The Bitcoin Standard Toolkit is a selection of Bitcoin services I recommend to my readers and learners on SaferDean.com as they upgrade their monetary operating system from the fiat standard to the Bitcoin standard. These companies are NYDIG, a leading full-service financial services firm dedicated to Bitcoin, applying institutional wisdom and ingenuity to help clients access the unrealized potential of this emerging asset class. NYDIG offers the full suite of solutions needed for financial institutions to access Bitcoin, including custody, execution, financing, treasury solutions, integration partnerships, and more. The team behind NYDIG brings decades of experience in the financial markets and passion for sound money to help provide the rails that will bring about a move to the Bitcoin standard. I have been working as a consultant for NYDIG for 2 years now, and I'm very impressed with their vision, focus, and execution. Go to NYDIG.com to learn more. CipherSafe. To secure your Bitcoins, it is important to keep your seed phrase backed up safely, and for that, I highly recommend using the CipherWheel Seed Storage Device, a gorgeous and brilliant sturdy piece of low-time preference engineering from a fourth-generation machine shop in Maine. The Cypher Wheel is machined from solid stainless steel, and its unique and elegant design is inspired by secret decoder rings, as well as legendary mechanical engineer Franz Rouleau and the golden age of machine design. If you've read the Bitcoin Standard, you'll know I think the late 19th century was a golden age for many facets of human advancement because of hard money. Bitcoin is bringing hard money back, and our friends at CypherSafe are giving Bitcoin the low time preference machines it deserves from the golden age of design. Go to CypherSafe.io to get the Cypher Wheel for your Bitcoins. OKCoin. Whenever someone asks me how to invest in Bitcoin, my advice is to accumulate Bitcoins periodically for the long run, or what is called dollar cost averaging. When you buy every day, week, or month, you channel Bitcoin's volatility to your advantage. In the long run, this strategy will outperform every other Bitcoin investment strategy, probably, except for amazing luck, perhaps. The best place to do recurring purchases is OKCoin because they have the lowest fees for recurring Bitcoin purchases you will find anywhere. If you're stacking sats for the long run, every sat matters, and the fees with each purchase will add up. That's why I recommend you buy at the lowest cost possible from OKCoin. OKCoin is also the Bitcoin exchange available in the most countries around the world, so it will hopefully be accessible for you wherever you are. Go to OKCoin.com to get started with your stacking. Noddle 1. As discussed in the Bitcoin Standard, Bitcoin is controlled by the nodes that operate its software. It is only through consensus between nodes that the Bitcoin blockchain continues to live, and it is only by running a Bitcoin node that you are part of this consensus and can verify the validity of the transactions you receive and the ownership of your coins. Whenever anyone asks me what are the most important warning signs that something is wrong with Bitcoin, I always answer the following. If the number of Bitcoin nodes is declining, and or the cost of running a node is rising significantly. I believe it is really important to run a node, but I don't recommend running it on your work or personal computer as it can compromise the performance of your computer and, more importantly, the security and privacy of your Bitcoin node. A far better solution is to buy a dedicated hardware node, and for that, I highly recommend Noddle. Manage all your Bitcoin activity, such as Lightning or BTC Pay server, and isolate them from your personal computer by putting them into one dedicated device that is always running and does one thing only, Bitcoin. Become a first-class Bitcoin citizen by running your own Noddle node, available at noddle.it, and that's spelled N-O-D-L.it. Finally, Cold Card. My hardware wallet of choice is the Cold Card. I strongly recommend only conducting Bitcoin trades on computers that are dedicated to Bitcoin and cannot connect to the internet. I like the Cold Card because it is a contained machine optimized for Bitcoin and Bitcoin only. Cold Card is basically a small computer that can only do Bitcoin, which makes securing it more straightforward. Use the code BitcoinStandard on coldcardwallet.com to get a 5% discount.
Bitcoin is the first liquid asset or resource, if you want, whose supply is truly and scarce, strictly scarce, as I like to call it in my book. And I think the significance of this is that when you understand that time is the only thing that's really scarce for us as human beings, and that money really is an attempt to save our wealth across time, or specifically to preserve the fruits of our labor from today into the future, money is a technology, essentially, for making the fruits of our labor today available for us for future consumption. Now, you can think of the inflation of the supply of the money as being like an inefficiency in the engine of that technology. Because if you store your supply, your wealth in a money whose supply is limited, whose supply is increasing, you know, your wealth is being drained out of that money that you stored it because the money supply is increasing. So now finally we have a liquid resource where you can store your wealth wherein nobody can increase the supply. And I think the implications of this are probably enormous. I mean, it means that productive labor can continue to be productive, and that its product can remain and gain value into the future. And I think that's going to have very significant effects on how we live our lives, which is which brings me to the topic of, you know, the importance of sound money and the importance of hard money. In chapter 5 of my book, an entire chapter is dedicated to this question, and it's particularly about time preference. Time preference is how much human beings value the future versus the present. And so if you had no choice of saving, if you knew that, you know, your only medium of exchange was, let's say, you know, a gas that would evaporate, so you can buy that gas and it will evaporate, you will be very unlikely to save. And if you're unlikely to save, you're unlikely to think of the future. And then all of your decisions as an individual will likely center around the present and around, you know, immediate gratification. And that's what we call high time preference behavior. As you're able to save, as you're able to think more of the future, you shift your thinking towards the future. That becomes low time preference behavior. And low time preference behavior is really what initiates the process of civilization, as economist Hans Hermann Hoppe likes to say. It's only when human beings begin to think of the future and begin to invest and begin to accumulate capital that we begin to develop the process of civilization, where we start thinking about what is better for the long run and not what is better for our immediate, you know, animalistic needs right now, what we want right now. So I think this is really quite an important thing, and there's a long discussion in my book about the difference in the effect of changing time preference as opposed to the monetary medium. So, if you look at 19th century Europe and you compare it to 20th century Europe, I don't think it's an entirely coincidental thing that, you know, a lot of, say, the way that the music was, the way that the art has changed, the way that architecture has changed, the way that people's orientation, people's savings rates, people used to save a lot more back then than they do right now. And I think there are a lot of evidence to suggest that we're moving more and more towards a high time preference society because of the fact that the money continuously loses its value. Government money is continuously losing its value, which incentivizes people to think of the short term rather than the long term. So I think Bitcoin, the really interesting thing about it for me is that it probably will reverse that process. And those of you who, you know, who start buying Bitcoin will probably identify with this. You know, our generation is not a generation that has grown up with a culture of saving. It's not a generation that has grown up with the idea that, you know, you keep part of your income. You know, you just spend everything that you have, and when you have major expenses, you borrow, and then you spend the rest of your life in debt. That's high time preference behavior, because you're not saving, because you're continuously thinking about the present, and you're continuously burdening your future self. Now imagine if a society where money gains value every year by 5%, in about 15 years or so, 16 years or so, the value of your money will double. If the money loses value by 5% every year, in 15 years or so, the value of your money will drop by half. Now imagine you've moved from, you were living in either of those. Where are you more likely to save? Where are you more likely to think about the future? Obviously in the one where the money appreciates, because you know, you think about every dollar that you have, this could be $2 in 15 years. Whereas when the money's going down, you think this is $1, it could be half a dollar in 15 years. Why should I keep it in my pocket? It's losing its value quickly. So this, I believe, is one very important implication of having this new monetary medium. Another one, I think, is that it offers us an excellent protection against government abuse, from confiscation of wealth, inflation, and so on. Specifically, Bitcoin as a, you know, as a user technology for individuals, currently, yeah, some people will escape Venezuela with Bitcoin and that will save their lives. But I think in the long run, the deeper impact that it will have is that it is going to make it harder and harder for governments to finance their operations through inflation. Because citizens everywhere in the world are developing Bitcoin as an exit strategy. So if any government starts inflating its currency, Bitcoin is far more easily available and harder to crack down on than dollars or gold or other currencies.